Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. And you know that means it's time for Ask T. Frank. This is where we take your questions for T. Frank. He gives you all the answers. If you want to submit your question, you could download our app from the App Store. Just search Keystone Sports, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN sweatshirt. All right, T. Frank, before we get started with the questions, I kind of cut you off. We had a hard break there. You were talking about Joey Porter, and I know you had one final thought on him.
So just in general, with all of these kind of big topics, whether it's Penn State didn't throw the ball enough in this game, or Joey Porter Jr. is terrible, you need to bench him, nothing's ever as simple as the kind of talking point that comes out of a game. There's always more nuance to it. And with Joey Porter Jr., I think he's got three quarters of the way there. So he's always in position. He's always on the receiver. It comes at the catch point where he's struggling to just finish the play. He gets a little grabby because he panics when the ball is in the air at times. And that's been something going back to last year that he was kind of doing as well. One of the things that happened this year is they, in practice, after one particularly bad game, I think it was Maryland, they put oven mitts on him during practice. And I don't know if that shook his confidence. I don't know if that's been part of the problem, is he's trying to adjust to a new technique, but he has been worse since that point. And that's a part of the analysis, too, is I think that he's trying to grow, and you're watching some of the growing pains.
Gotcha. All right. Let's get to the questions. Let's start with Bob in Millerstown, who says, T. Frank, I know Drew Aller is rated the top quarterback in the 22 class. My question is, from your scouting of him, does he have the instinct to sense pocket pressure and handle it? I'm sure he can make the throws if given time, maybe better than Clifford, but to me, doing it under pressure is the difference maker that we need. Is Bo Prabula better at that?
So this is a very interesting question, Bob, and I appreciate the nuance to it to not just ask me if he's going to be the next guy. Yes, he does have that ability, and part of the evaluation of Drew Aller is that he's, between the 20s, essentially every single play, he's being blitzed. Because he's in the pocket, five wide, reading the defense, and a lot of times, especially his junior season, teams were sending six after him to speed up the clock, and he was still performing at a fairly high level. He's gotten better this year in terms of being able to throw the ball on the run, being accurate from multiple platforms, and not doing some of the bad things that you see from quarterbacks that aren't responding well to pressure. So yes, he does have, I think, better pocket presence under pressure than Sean Clifford, who has been... I've never seen a quarterback with as drastic of a split between kept clean and under pressure if you go check out PFF's passing grades. It's just insane. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country and then one of the worst quarterbacks in the country. So that is absolutely a part of the evaluation this year. And I do think that the next quarterback, whether it's Prabula or Aller, if that is the guy... those two are better at this than Clifford. Prabula is still, I think, a little more raw with all of these things. So that is part of it. I wouldn't say yes to Prabula, but he is more athletic and does make plays on the run.
Real quick, how about Christian Veilleux?
I think that was the main thing we saw from him during Rutgers, is that under pressure he delivered the ball at least in a catchable radius to the receiver multiple times. So yes, I think that he does as well.
All right, let's go to Jimmy in Forest City. T. Frank, Penn State lost five games by a total of 21 points this year. Plenty of reasons, Clifford's injury, offensive line, etc. But missed field goals and extra points really hurt too. Jordan Stout, field goal kicking was less than 70%, 69.6, way behind other kickers. Pinniger, made his one extra point try. Is this about Franklin sticking with his decision and not wanting to admit he was wrong, or was stout truly the best that we had?
This is a very, if there's one area I think I do have criticism of what James Franklin does, is that exactly what you just said, sticking with his guy. I don't think it's about proving he was right or wrong. It is about the data. It is about what he gets from practice and every other part of the evaluation. And when he has that information, he sticks with that. And he believes that his guys can play through it because he has the belief of what he's seen everywhere else but the football field. But sometimes it just doesn't translate, right? And that is one area I do have a criticism of. He has to be quicker to adapt and change. It took literally until the fourth quarter of the last game for him to pull the plug on Jordan Stout kicking those extra points and close field goals. So part of the evaluation was that Pinniger, I don't think, from what I heard, wasn't healthy in training camp. And then they didn't change anything because they decided that Jordan Stout was going to be the guy that does everything. So, yeah, I would agree with you that it is a thing that they need to correct going forward, because it's also cost them quarterbacks. Will Levis, I think they had an evaluation of him, and they didn't allow that to grow. And you saw that he was more than just a runner at Kentucky, even though I think the evidence that I saw in film was I agreed with them. But you can be wrong. And you can miss on some things.
I think we also need to understand that it's a two-edged sword when you talk about loyalty, or it's too much loyalty when you end up losing a game because of it. Yeah. However, I'm sure there are a lot of players who appreciate Franklin's loyalty to him.
Yeah.
Even if it is to a fault at times. All right, let's go to Brian in Hartwell, Georgia, who says, just wanted to let you both know how much I enjoyed your podcast this season. I found each episode to be entertaining and informative. Well, thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
Keep up the great work. Now that the regular season is over, can you grade the overall performance of the coaching staff? Seems like we were consistently being outcoached and rarely have an effective game plan. What, in your opinion, needs to change?
This is always one of those tough things. Because my process is I watch the film of each game multiple times, at least three times each weekend. And when you get that far into the granular part of every play, you see the shortcomings of the players that are in the positions that they're in. So that tends to be where I focus a lot of my attention and time. And it takes me a little while to digest things and kind of take a step back and take a broad view. And I haven't really gotten there yet. I think Jimmy's question in Forest City was a first part of that, is kind of sticking with things and trying to get it better instead of making changes. James Franklin, for as much as he goes for it on fourth down, I think in his heart is more of a conservative person that wants the assurance route rather than taking big risks. I don't think he takes big risks, and that would be some of the areas of I would say my criticism. When it comes to the game plan specific things, I have less problems with those because I'm seeing what they're trying to do in each situation, and generally they're the right plan. It's just that it doesn't work, whether it's from player failings, calling the wrong thing at the wrong time, or maybe some predictability. One thing that comes to mind is Brent Pry playing cover two in the red zone. This year, I think teams keyed on that of when he wanted to play that particular coverage, and Michigan was able to get some touchdowns against them, and Michigan State was able to do that as well. But everyone does that. I think everyone does that part. So then it becomes the kind of 30,000-foot view of where I haven't really dug into all of those parts, but my first evaluation would be you stuck with the offensive line and you expected it to get better, but you didn't make any drastic changes like moving Mike Miranda from center. I think that we saw improvement there and they didn't do that. So that's kind of my initial reaction to these things. If you want me to give a grade, you can't get better than a C in a 7-5 season. C minus.
And I also believe when you lose so many games by just a couple points, the coaching decisions really stand out.
Yeah. But what doesn't stand out is the down-in and down-out bad play of the players that you're looking at. And I understand that to some people, it doesn't matter because it's all coaching. You only see the coaching. I put some of that on the players. The players have to go out and execute the schemes that they run. That's plain and simple. Like, you can teach a guy 1,000 times, but you can't get blood from a stone. And if there is nothing in the stone, you can't get anything out of it. You're just, for the offensive line in particular, they were stuck with those guys because I think we saw in the Rutgers game, there weren't a lot of better options that they had.
And great players make coaches look great. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jahan Dotson, I had this conversation and I mentioned it earlier in the week with my brother during the game. We were texting and my brother had some kind of comment about the coaching. And later on, Jahan Dotson makes a great catch. They score a touchdown. And my comment was, Jahan Dotson makes you a better coach. And that's the case. Against Michigan, fake punt, you convert, it's a great coaching decision. Fake field goal, fails, it's a terrible coaching decision. To your point, the players often determine whether you're a good coach or not. All right, let's go to Mark in Lancaster, who says, who is primarily responsible for breaking down game tape? Seems like you do a good job, and someone like you could save a lot of time for the coaches. So do staffers, grad assistants review it and point out trends for the head coach to review, or do the head coaches and coordinators do it all from scratch?
So coaches, I don't know. I don't want to sound like I know something about the inner workings of college football programs when I've never been a part of a college football program. My supposition and kind of what I've heard and learned is that it is GAs and assistants and video coordinators that are a part of the program that are putting the clips together, and then the coaches come in and evaluate it. So I appreciate that. I think that's very kind of you to say, but I have never done it for a football program, and without knowing the exact thing, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I do think video coordinators, that's what they do.
I think Mark is lobbying for you to get a job on Coach Franklin's staff there, T. Frank.
Well, you know, I'll never say never, and it, you know... I'll say the one thing is, like, I don't envy the Penn State coaching staff or any college football coaching staff. So during the season, there are days I work 16 hours from 5 a.m. till midnight. I do that maybe 3 days a week. They do that literally every single day. And I just, I couldn't do that. Don't care how much money you pay me. There's a certain part of life that's taken from you.
And on the days that they're not doing that, they're on the road recruiting.
Yep. Yeah.
And yeah, it is a very, very tough job. All right, T. Frank, we need a winner.
Oh, this is a good week of questions. I would say Bob in Millerstown. I thought that was a great conversation about quarterbacks and evaluating pocket presence. So we'll go there.
Very good. And just to refresh, you're pretty happy with how Drew Aller is able to handle pressure. That is they do run an interesting offense. If you got to see any of his games, and a couple of them were televised. Very, very interesting to see. All right,
others
stick
are on
around.
YouTube as well.
Good point. Got to go check it out. That's it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, Dustin Schutte is here to talk Big Ten football.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.